We'll update you on where Congress is on any new economic stimulus. I'm David Brancaccio. Democrats and Republicans appear no closer to reaching a deal on a coronavirus relief bill. The extra $600 a week unemployment supplement officially ends tomorrow. Federal Reserve Chair Jerome Powell is among those urging Congress to act. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer was on the Fed's video conference yesterday. What did Mr. Powell say about this?
Well, he held a news conference yesterday at the end of the Fed's two-day meeting, and they decided to keep interest rates near zero, by the way. But even in his opening statement, Powell said, the Fed doesn't make grants. It can only loan money. And sometimes loans aren't the answer. He said several times that fiscal support, that is what Congress does, is needed.
Now, did Powell specify what type of congressional spending he was talking about?
Powell said it's going to take a while for the hardest hit parts of the economy to recover. So businesses that rely on people being together in public spaces, places like restaurants and hotels, they may not be able to hire everyone back. There just won't be enough jobs. And Powell says that's where Congress comes in.
I think those people are going to need support. I can't say what the exact level should be. It's not our role, but they're going to need support if they're to be able to pay their bills, to continue spending money, to remain in their current rental house or apartment or a house if they own it. So I think there will be a need.
You heard there that Powell wouldn't talk specifically about the $600 a week unemployment supplement that's expiring, but it's clear he is worried about how people who've lost their jobs are going to support themselves.
Marketplace's Nancy Marshall Genzer covering Washington. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The 100 share index in London is down 1.6% at the moment. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures here are all down in the 1% range. And these numbers. At least once in the week that ended July 21st, the Census Bureau says 30 million Americans did not have enough to eat. Census has only been doing this calculation for 3 months, and this is the highest so far. I'm trying to conceptualize 30 million people. Standing in a socially distanced line 6 feet apart, 30 million people is a bread line 40,000 miles long. Amazon reports its second quarter profits later today after the stock markets close. The January to March quarter was a strong one, and Amazon's business likely strengthened in April to June, given pandemic. Here's Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman.
If your house is anything like mine, that sound probably means there's another delivery from Amazon. Books, cleaning supplies, this special instant coffee we can't get at the grocery right now. Amazon is closing in on 40% of the U.S. e-commerce market. And with Americans hunkered down, Amazon's interlocking internet businesses are firing on all cylinders, says equity analyst Tuna Amobi at CFRA Research.
Streaming video, e-commerce, as well as cloud computing, learning, and remote workforce really helped Amazon tremendously to consolidate its gains.
Amobi predicts strong revenue and profit growth, even though Amazon has burned through several billion dollars hiring new workers, beefing up employee PPE, and testing for COVID. But Amazon will face a challenge holding on to new customers, says Nick Shields at Third Bridge. He points to the company's grocery delivery business, Amazon Fresh.
I'm curious to see if those are just one-time buyers and, they went back to buying their groceries the traditional way, just going to a brick-and-mortar store, or if, these are longer-term Amazon Fresh customers.
Shields points out Amazon does have giant, deep-pocketed, tech-savvy competitors for online shoppers, including Walmart. Competition was also on the minds of legislators when Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos and other tech execs testified before a congressional antitrust hearing yesterday. Dan Crane at the University of Michigan Law School says the issue boils down to whether consumers have real choices or face a monopoly.
When we ask, who are Amazon's competitors, if we're just thinking about Amazon as a retailer, there are lots of those out there. But we think about Amazon as an e-commerce platform. There may not be that many out there that really can do what Amazon does today.
Crane says one important question is, how much control does the company exert over third-party sellers who may have to please Amazon to stay in business? I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
Thank you.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The West Coast electric utility PG&E and Tesla say they've broken ground on an energy storage facility using lithium-ion batteries. The system will be designed, constructed, and maintained by both companies and owned and operated by the power company. But PG&E has just gotten out of bankruptcy amid its liability for terrible fires in California. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
One reason that PG&E was motivated to build this storage facility in Monterey County, California, is that it's mandated by the state to provide energy storage capacity. And Mark Specht, an energy analyst at the Union of Concerned Scientists, says from the utility's perspective, this partnership makes a lot of sense.
Tesla is quite advanced with their battery technology, and PG&E was looking for someone who could supply them with good batteries.
The batteries will be used by PG&E to provide power to customers. And when the facility comes online, the utility can shut down inefficient natural gas power plants it's wanted to take offline for years. That efficiency should make it cheaper for PG&E to produce energy, which should eventually trickle down to ratepayers. But Paul Denholm with the National Renewable Energy Laboratory says,
it's not clear how much and when ratepayers will actually start seeing savings in their bill.
He says that's because power systems are multi-billion dollar assets that are paid for over the course of several decades. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And what was once the dominant photochemicals company on the planet announced on Tuesday that it's gotten a $765 million loan from the federal government to make ingredients for coronavirus drugs. So why did that company's stock, Kodak, pop for a bit on Monday? Well, the Wall Street Journal is reporting that the company sent out press releases to local TV news in the hometown of Rochester, New York. Apparently, the releases were not marked embargoed, i.e. don't run this till tomorrow. A couple of stations did and then tweeted, and then the cat was out of the bag. I am David Brancaccio. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.